Christ was born to come and get your heart. He wants your heart. Because if he has your heart, he has everything. Everything that you do, everything that you accomplish in your life comes out of your heart through your spirit. And so if God has your heart, there's nothing that can hinder his leading in your life and the blessings of the Lord in your life. So can we pray before we dive into the message? Let's pray that God open my thinking so that I can dive into my heart and check my heart that you have everything. Oh, if you've confessed the Lord Jesus, he's got you. The Holy Spirit is in you. Your spirit is brand new. You're born again. Yes, you're going to heaven, but it's our choice to give him our heart, isn't it? It's our choice. So this morning, let's do that. Father, in Jesus' name, we just absolutely overwhelm our thinking with, do you have my heart? But I say, in faith, God, you have my heart. Lord, and I pray that each person in this house, everyone watching around the country and some outside the country, that you would choose this day to check your heart. Check your heart. And give it to him. Give him everything this Christmas season. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Thank you. God bless you as you were seated. I had the privilege of knowing personally, being on his elder board, and spending a lot of time sitting under the feet of a great man of God. His name's Pastor Jack Hayford. And he wrote this and spoke this in a message, and it's in one of his books. If you were told you shouldn't celebrate Christmas because it's an extension of an ancient pagan holiday, consider this. It's also an ancient Christian takeover of a pagan holiday. Jesus was born. And so I say to you, Merry Christmas. Amen. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. Now, in your bulletin, you have seen an envelope, and it's entitled, I believe, The Staff Christmas. And we want to give them a very large bonus this year. And so what we're doing is we are putting these envelopes, other than our tithe and offering envelope, in there that you would bless our staff and give largely to our staff. On the 23rd of December, I will be taking them out and celebrating them of all that they did. And I just want to tell you, this past year, I'm always proud of our staff, but this past year, with all the construction, from just the things that we're doing, experiencing what God is doing in our ministries, our staff is just amazing. All you ladies enjoyed yesterday's Christmas tea, and people don't realize the amount of work that's put together to be able to do that. The spiritual aspect of the work of putting all that together. I know just personally on Friday evening, I left here about 9:15, 9:30 at night because my wife was here putting on her little touches so that the ladies would enjoy the beauty of the meaning of Christmas. And seeing her heart in what she was doing and making sure the little details of things were done in how she wanted to present her love and the extension of the leadership of women's ministries and all the ladies that worked and volunteers so that you would enjoy that. And that's why I really felt led of the Lord for us to do that. I know groceries are more expensive. I know gasoline is more expensive. But I'm going to give liberally to our staff, and we're going to celebrate them on the 23rd. So if you would, just allow yourself and avail yourself to give. If you're not able to today, next week we will have it in the bulletin, and the following week we will have it in the bulletin. So be praying and be led of the Holy Spirit in what you give. And on the 23rd, we will bless all of our staff and wish them a very, very, very Merry Christmas and a thank you from the whole congregation. Speaking of Christmas, of course, from all the things we've already done, starting with Thanksgiving service that we had, that was beautiful. Again, as Pastor Dan talked to you about next week with our children, let me just explain something to you. Everything that we do is based upon the Word of God. Everything we accomplish here is based on the Word of God. The focus from the time that I have been here at this church from 1979 has been ministering to our young people and to our children. Because as the old cliche, which is true, but it's not our full cliche, but you know, our future of ministry of church is in our young people. And we need to give to them, support them, love them. I sat in my office this morning, early this morning, and I asked the Lord to remind me of how many churches that are led by pastors who were young or young in ministry trained here at Valley Community Church. And I counted from those that have left here and then now are pastors, and they have released others with the same mentality that was trained here. There are 71 churches that have lead pastors that are touched by Valley Community Church. And you need to, amen. So you need to invite every one of your family members, their children, your grandchildren, and bring them so they can experience the future of church. Our young people from the children's ministry and to identity, our youth ministry, there are going to be many that are going to be involved in this, in the background, all the above, and to be able to present a story. It's going to be fun. It's going to be laughter. But it's going to be serious because there's anointings that take place in a very young age. And if you read through the Bible, many were anointed for their ministry at a very young age. And we have a tendency to back away when we're not included. And I want to tell you, we are included in our children. And so next week, I would love to see people that have never been here to come and enjoy the reality of ministry and God's calls and God's anointings over our children. It is surely a blessing. Then the following week, with a candlelight service just before Christmas, this is really a family time. It's a blessing for us. And again, as I read that from Jack Hayford, I want you to understand, I enjoy Thanksgiving and Christmas. People say happy holidays. That's fine by me. I say Merry Christmas. And because I know what the season is all about. So when you see the decorations, you see all the nativity scenes, which are partly doctrinal. When they came, the wise men came, he was 2 years old. Okay, so I get that. I understand that. But I love seeing that little baby sitting there in the manger. By the way, it wasn't a straw manger. It was a cave. And where he was set. So, that's doctrinal. That's right. But you know what? Who cares? What are we celebrating? Jesus, amen? And so today I want to continue in the series on living in his presence. By the way, the Sunday before Christmas, I will talk about his Christmas. It'll be a message about Christmas. But today I want to talk about his plan. And his plan is really grabbing your heart. And there's something that we have to look at. Now, there's always one message that God gives me in a series that I argue with God. Because sometimes the messages he gives me can be tough to listen to. Not tough because it's boring, but tough because it is tough on us. It speaks to us in a very strong way in a reality of the topic that we're talking about, living in his presence. We're going to find out one of the major battles that we have about staying with the presence of God as we leave our secret place, as we leave our prayer room, as we leave our study in the Word in the morning. There are some things in our lives that have a tendency to, or a possibility to remove us from the presence of God. And bottom line, it's about our hearts. So again, God wants us to live in his presence all the time. It's not, you know, you're going through a hard time, so you need to spend time with me, and maybe I'll anoint you. Maybe I'll be in your presence. No, God wants to be in your presence all the time. He's given us the ability to do so, and we've learned that in this series. But certain ideas or thoughts can create walls in our hearts. Certain things can take us away. Melissa was talking about distractions. And I want to talk about something more than a distraction of busyness. I want to talk about a topic that can be tough talking about. So I'm going to show you today how to turn your whole heart towards God and live in his presence, not allowing what I'm going to show you to distract your heart from his presence. So that we just don't enter into his presence one day a week, but every day that we are with him. Every day we're hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit. Because I want to tell you, if we don't understand what I'm talking about, there are going to be times in our life we think we're hearing God and we're not. Because of situations in our heart that remove us from hearing God and almost becoming deaf to the words of God. And I've been there, church. I've been there. Even in ministry, I've been there where I've been distracted. My heart's been distracted. And I wasn't hearing God, but because I'm a man of God, I always hear God. But until I understood this decades ago, I would hear something thinking it was God, and it wasn't. So this message might be a little tough to some of you. Everyone watching online, love you being with us. Edison, all the guys out in Palm Springs. Everybody on the East Coast, in Africa, everybody you're watching, listening, welcome, join us. This is the greatest people in the world. They love you and praying for you every single day. So let's talk about what is it that causes us to pull away from the presence of God. Remember, if you will, in Genesis chapter 3, we talked about this early in this series. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, it says, "And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking, Adam and Eve, in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden." So Adam and Eve hid from the presence of the Lord. So what pulls us out of God's presence? Here's the question again. What pulls us out of God's presence even though our desire is to walk with him 24/7, it's sin. So I don't want to talk about we just make mistakes, which we do. We do things that really aren't sin, but we make mistakes and we act out in areas in our life. That is not sin, but it's just that we do make mistakes. But I want to talk deeper than that. Satan will begin to form a stronghold in our life. Yes, we talked about that too. And us serving that stronghold is what takes us out of God's presence. See, it's not what has taken place in our life. It's then we begin to plan and live with that stronghold, which that's what sin creates. It's living with the stronghold and then being deceived, thinking we're living with the wisdom of God. So in Ezekiel 14, again, I argued with God. I said, God, I don't want to talk about this stuff, but I want to show you why what he led me to and showed me a scripture, why I need to talk about this. So are you with me? All right, we're not talking to you. We're talking to all of us because we've all been here. All right? So Ezekiel 14 says this. Now some of the elders of Israel, notice elders, came to me and sat before me. Now this is Ezekiel talking. So the elders went to the prophet Ezekiel. And the word of the Lord came to me saying, watch carefully, and I'm going to read a lot of scripture here. It says here, son of man, these men have set up their idols in their hearts. Everyone say hearts. They set up their idols in their hearts and put before them that which causes them to stumble into iniquity. Should I let myself be inquired of at all by them? In other words, Ezekiel now is questioning, these are elders. What are they coming to me for? They know better. Why should I even talk about this? All right? That's what I was doing with God. I said, God, why don't I talk about it? It's Christmas. And we should talk about happy times. Well, this is happy times when we know this. Because the deception of these strongholds that creates us to come pull out of the presence of God and hear voices, I'm not talking about something weird, but hear a voice thinking it's God and it's not. Verse 4, therefore speak to them and say to them, God talking to Ezekiel, thus says the Lord God, every one of the house of Israel who sets up his idols in his heart and puts before him what causes him to stumble into iniquity, in other words, starts acting on it, and then comes to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him who comes according to the multitude of his idols, that I may seize the house of Israel by their heart. God is saying, I want you to tell them about this, what I'm going to say. And the reason is, it's not because I want to slap them around and tell them you're bad. This is not telling us we're bad. He's saying, because I want to seize your heart so I can bless you in my plan. The plan that I have for you will come to pass if you understand this and let me have your whole heart. You following this? Because they are all estranged from me by their idols. In other words, God's saying, everybody here is estranged by their idols. Now, we're going to explain that in a moment. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, repent, turn away from your idols, and turn your faces away from all your abominations. For anyone of the house of Israel or of the strangers who dwell in Israel, who separates himself from me, remember Adam and Eve pulled away, and sets up his idols in his heart, that's what they did, and puts before him what causes him to stumble into iniquity, then comes to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me. Now notice iniquity is of the inside. It's a thought process too. It's not the action, but it's now we begin thinking this way. I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. I will set my face against that man and make him a sign and a proverb. And I will cut him off from the midst of my people. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. And if a prophet is induced to speak anything, I, the Lord, have induced that prophet. All right? So in my argument with God, I've been induced to speak what the will of the Lord is. And I will stretch out my hand against him and destroy him from among my people Israel. Now watch this. And they, verse 10, notice plural, the person who inquired, the elders, and also the prophet. Now God is telling the prophet, Ezekiel, dude, you're going to tell them the answer. Because if you don't, you're going to have the same consequence they have. Whoa. And they shall bear their iniquity. The punishment of the prophet shall be the same as the punishment of the one who inquired. I read this a couple weeks ago. That the house of Israel may no longer stray from me, nor be profaned anymore with all their transgressions, but that they may be my people and I may be their God, says the Lord God. That's God's heart. He wants to be your God and he wants you to be his people. That is what he's saying. This is the very reason why these tough things are stated in Scripture. So if you didn't know this, God has always been concerned about your heart, saying some have idols in their heart. So let's find out now. So what is an idol? The word idol actually means image. Many times the Bible translates the same word to image, not to an idol. So if I ask you what the second commandment was, we've studied this, so you should know. But anyways, most people say, you shall not have any idols. But Exodus 24 says, you shall not make for yourself a carved image. So an idol is an image. Idolatry is worshiping that image. But the word image is the root word for imagination. So follow me with this. Or if you're thinking about something more than you're thinking about God. Things in our lives that we're thinking of, worry, concern, anger, bitterness, unforgiveness, shame, all these things become sin in our life and it pulls us out of the presence of God, and that's where there's a difficulty of hearing the voice of God. So it is very possible that we may have an idol in our heart, or you may have an idol in your heart. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you today some things or ways that would cause an idol in your heart. All right, so we're going to do that. We're going to give you some words. And first word that I want to give you is the word presumption. Presumption. In Ezekiel 14:3, it says this, "Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their hearts and put before them that which causes them to stumble into iniquity. Should I let myself be inquired of at all by them?" See, if you have an idol, you will begin to cater to the idol. You will begin to make plans of, watch this, how you can sin. I'm talking to believers mostly. And we make plans in how to sin or get away with what we do. Get away with unforgiveness. Get away with anger, with an action of that anger. Romans 13:14 says, "Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts." But many times, we do make provision for it. In the Bible, I'll show you, and we talked about this in a previous series, and I like bringing up things we've talked about because I want to remind us of actions. So some things I do repeat, and the reason why is because if you're like me, when I learn something, I have to hear it more than once. Are you like me? All right. So in the Bible, remember Jeroboam built an altar in Dan, which is in the north. And he built a replica of the temple and the altar. And when Jeremiah, he oversaw the 10 northern tribes. He built an altar in Dan and Bethel, which is in the south. And he also built idols for other gods, just in case someone didn't serve our God, then you're going to be happy with us. All right, he was trying to be this happy-go-lucky guy. So this is what Jeroboam said, or why he did it. I'll put them in the north and the south. Why? Because it's so much trouble to go to Jerusalem three times a year. So instead of Jerusalem, you can go to Dan or you can go to Bethel. But the word said, go to Jerusalem. And he said, when you go to Dan or Bethel, if you need something else, we put idols and golden calves there because these are the gods that brought you out of Egypt. So you understand the idea of being this nice king, overseer. You understand now where it came from, because now he's quoting something that's not true, that's opposite of truth. He said, these are the gods that brought you out of Egypt. The same gods that Egypt worshipped. Going back to the past, going back to the old self. Anybody who received the Lord before and about 2 years later, after you've gotten a word, you're journaling, you've gone to OSL, you've been in discipleship, man, you're worshiping, you might even be on the worship team, and then all of a sudden, one day, you go back to what you used to do. And then you go, where'd that come from? All right? Well, what I'm telling you is that the enemy is going after your heart. He can't go after your spirit because it's brand new. All right? You're born again. But he's going after your heart. He's trying to get you to go back to some areas where it's going to create. And what that does, we think we can get away with that, but what it does, it pulls you away from the presence and the power of God. Remember a last time together? Remember when you walk with God after you leave the secret place and God goes with you, and because of worship and all that, and then if the enemy comes against you, Jesus appears around the corner because he's with you, and the devil goes, oh, okay. I'm not going to mess with you now. See, when we pull away from that, the enemy comes around the corner and he looks again, and he doesn't see the presence of the Lord. Doesn't mean you're not born again. Doesn't mean you're not going to heaven. But what it means is that we've allowed our heart to have an idol in it, and the iniquity of it, we begin to think to do these things in a Christian way. It's okay that I do this because of what so-and-so did. All right? So, he put the god of mammon there. Now, if you need money, you can still worship God, but if you can worship mammon too. But remember, the problem with that is Jesus said, you can't worship God and mammon at the same time. You know what that's talking about? Talking about my heart. That my heart's not vacillating back and forth. That I'm a tither. And I don't vacillate from tithing. Tithing is something I do. It's like waking up. It's like eating. I tithe. I give offerings. So I bring the first 10% to the house of God. I had the privilege, before I paid any bills, my personal bills, is I wrote out my tithe check. And why is that? Because God's got my heart. God's got my heart. You either do what God says, or we do, or you do, what we think is best. And let me tell you, sounds hard, but my best is not better than God. My best is what God says, then I'm best. But if I think I have a better idea, then I'm presuming, I have presumption in my heart that I can get away. So you cannot live in the presence of God if we have an idol in our hearts. That's what Ezekiel is saying through what God told him. Here's the second, estrangement. Remember that word? Ezekiel 14:5, that I may seize the house of Israel by their heart, because they are all estranged from me by their idols. Now, what does the word estrangement mean? In the Hebrew, it actually is referring to a woman who is married but is living with another man. Remember, we are the bride of Christ. We are married to God. So let's get a better understanding of God's thoughts here, all right? Because the first thought you would have is, you know, I'm bad. Well, I'm not that bad. I don't do that. But listen to the principle, okay? These are principles. The house of Israel is God's people, and because they have idols in their heart, they are having an affair on God. They're married to me, but they're sleeping with their idol. Jeremiah 3:6 says, the Lord said also to me in the days of Josiah the king, have you seen what backsliding Israel has done? She has gone up on every high mountain and under every green tree, and there played the harlot. Jeremiah 3:9 says, so it came to pass through her casual harlotry, that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and trees. Now that's weird, stones and trees. Well, all right, because we're all thinking sexual. This is not talking about sex. Stones are what you build an altar out of, and trees are the wood you cut and burn to make a sacrifice on that altar. They made altars and did sacrifices to other gods. That's what happens when sin is in our heart. But God said they committed adultery by doing that. Jeremiah 3:14 says, return, O backsliding children. I didn't call you that. And God's not calling you that. But he's calling Israel, and we're like Israel, all right? Says the Lord, for I am married to you. I will take you, one from a city and two from a family, and I will bring you to Zion. In other words, let me say this. Choose you this day, and I will give you heaven while you're on this earth, and one day when you go to heaven. You will have the blessings of God on your life. Just give me your heart. Now, I understand this is tough. If you're watching online, don't turn the football game on. So this is what the Lord said to me about this message. There are some people here who are watching online that are on a precipice right now. There are some of us that are watching or listening, and maybe here. You're about to go over a cliff, and God says to me, I want to stop them. Church family, This message is for every one of us. God's saying, don't go over that cliff. Sin is spiritual adultery. We're not talking about mistakes, we're talking about sin. Sin is leaving God, going out and committing adultery, and then coming back and slipping into bed with God as if nothing ever happened. Your pastor loves you. But you got to understand that every time I study something, I'll say it this way. If need be, God kicks my butt first. Amen. So an idol will cause you to be estranged from God. Listen about sin. Sin will not affect God's love for you. How many people have you heard? Well, God won't do that for me because you don't know what I've done in my past. You know what I say to people like that? God's already done something for you. He's removed your shame. You just got to choose to live it out. Amen? God still loves you. So what sin will do, it will affect your love for God. Because your heart begins to go after that thing, that other thing. I see it in the world today. Everyone wants justice. Justice. Because everyone hates you. No, they don't. And if everyone hated me, God loves me. Everybody's running around looking for justice. They're looking around for righteousness. You can't find righteousness in this world without Jesus because they're filthy rags, the Bible says. And so we're running around trying, and so our heart is taken by, matter of fact, did you know that the Bible tells us that we're not to take other people's offenses? I mean, how many times, well, I want justice for so-and-so. Don't take an offense. And yes, people do wrong. Yes, people bully. Yes, people do these things. Yes, there are a few racist people. But I want you to understand what the world is trying to do, what Satan is trying to do, is to steal from the church the presence of God on your daily walk. Because we follow into that sin and it pulls us away from his presence. I don't want to live a second of my life without the presence of the Lord. Because I know how much he loves me, even if some hate me. Are you there? Yeah, okay. That's the idol in their hearts and the power of it. Here's the third thing. Spiritual deafness. I talked about this earlier. These were elders, and they went to the prophet to see what God would say. My question is, why did they go to the prophet? Here's the answer. Because they had an idol in their heart and they couldn't hear God. Why couldn't they hear God? Because of sin. Sin brings a separation from our intimacy with God. God still loves us. Isaiah 59:2 says, but your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. So what I'm saying in this whole series is this. We can live with constant communion with the Holy Spirit. But if we have sin, an idol in our heart, which turns to iniquity, we turn down the Holy Spirit and his leading. And we turn up the hearing for the idol. Okay, I'll explain that. Is the tendency, if I am living in sin, and the Bible says be angry and sin not, but if I'm angry and I sin, what I do is I turn up the idol's voice. You did what you did. You don't deserve me. I don't want anything to do with you. Why? Because the idol that's in my heart. And we have to grab a hold of the reality of truth. That when we are living that way, that's all we hear. And everything that we are thinking is right in our own eyes. We see things differently now. We are not walking in love. We're walking in what we think. Why? Because our ears are tuned up to what's wrong in life, even though they did something wrong. See, you and I must recognize God is not doing this like a lot of us were feeling. Okay, Pastor, you're going to get off that subject right now? No, I'm not. Because I'm like Elijah. If I don't bring this out, and I'll say it in a little bit, but if I don't bring this out, then I'm judged in the same manner, even though I didn't sin. But I sinned because I didn't share what God asked me to share. Amen? So I love God enough to do that, but let me just tell you this. I love you enough to do it. I care about you. I want you to absolutely enjoy what I've experienced for decades of walking with God, even though I've messed up once in a while. Okay, even though I've sinned. Amen. Yep, your pastor has sinned. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they couldn't hear God because they had an idol in their heart. And if we have that sin, we turn up the idol voice. When we step away from his presence, it's hard to hear him because other stuff becomes louder. With an idol sin in my heart, this is what happens to me or us. The voice you're hearing, you will begin to believe it's God, but it's not God. I serve in church. I do this. I give this. I do that. I do that. So I have a right to stand in what I believe. You're not hearing God. We need to walk with God. Truly love him and love one another and be at peace. Here's the fourth thing, and I'll conclude with this, and everyone says, amen. Here's the fourth, consequences. Ezekiel 14:10 says, they shall bear their iniquity. The punishment of the prophet shall be the same as the punishment of the one who inquired. So the word punishment is the exact same word that is translated iniquity. So he's saying if the prophet doesn't share that, if the pastor doesn't share that, you know what happens? He's in iniquity too. So the verse could read, and they shall bear their punishment. The punishment of the prophet shall be the same as iniquity. So this means if the prophet doesn't call out the sin, the prophet has the same idol. The prophet must take a stand against sin or he falls to the same punishment. Why? Because God is a just God. Punishment and iniquity, the word is literally means this, consequence of sin. The consequence of sin. And let me tell you, still go to heaven? Still have a lot of good things happen in our life? But what I'm talking about is living in the presence of God. loving Jesus with our whole heart. And when bad things happen to us, it hurts. It's tough. When people abuse, it's tough. When people reject, it's tough. But here's the reality. I'd rather have God with me than men. And here's the toughest part of this. Also, the iniquity can be passed to the third and fourth generation. But watch this. Let me explain it. Or in the third and fourth generation, up to the generation can be bent to the same type of sin. Someone's always angry about something and always, you know, blah, blah, blah. Then the family becomes bent to that. Children and children's children and their children. Now, can you remove that? Absolutely. In Jesus' name, remove it and change. But that's the very reason God takes a stand against sin. God is doing everything he can to stop us from that. You know why? Because he absolutely, because he is love, loves you and me. And he just wants the best for you and me. So when we begin to serve something other than God, like Jeroboam did, he said, Jerusalem is too far, so I'll build an altar. Church is too far. Business is too far. Family that you haven't seen in a while is too far. What is God saying to you? Don't listen to the idol in your heart. Give God your whole heart, and God will show you a way to be faithful. My spouse doesn't love me because he or she does or doesn't do this. You go to the Lord, give him your heart, and God will cause you to hear and to see everything right. And even though at times there's a season in your marriage, a season at your job, season with family that's tough and stuff's going on, it's not right and all that, but you have God in your heart. You have this heart of God because you've given it to him. You haven't gone to an idol, and you're hearing the voice of God, and he will see you through your pain. He will see you through every rejection you've ever felt, every abuse that's happened. He will see you through it because he will tell you the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's what God is doing. And I understand, because I understand people. People have shut us off, shut off the TV. They've shut off the computer. They didn't want to listen to this. And the very reason is because they have idols in their heart and they're listening. You know, I'm not going to listen to that stuff. This is not saying anybody's bad. Amen. And we listened to Pastor Dan's testimony. And his confession of how it all was my fault. You can't say stuff like that unless you have, God's got your heart. Because the truth, watch this, may hurt, but the truth will bring healing. I hope you grab that. Watching online, I hope you grab that. Because true, something's going on. But that truth, there's healing in that plan. That's God's plan. And when that healing manifests, you're able to stand with your shoulders back and being able to see the things that go on in life and the way people, you know, there's evil in this world. It's a fallen world. And we see that. So it's, you know, three steps to idolatry. Let me just quickly share this with you. It's inconvenient to worship God. It's inconvenient to have a quiet time in the secret place. It's inconvenient to go to church. So let's just make it convenient to be a Christian and be someone that is inclusive and worship some other gods. In other words, when I say inclusive, I'm talking about it's all about what I believe. And when we do that, we kick out the first commandment. You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And you shall have no other gods before me. Now, if you think I'm talking about you, every one of us at one point in our life, or a couple points, or quite a bit of points, have worshipped other gods. We've worshipped worry. We worship bitterness. We worship anger. See, at those times in our lives, we need to recognize I have an idol in our heart. And we need to repent. Not, well, I won't do that. I'll be better. No, repent. Repent is doing a 180. Go in the other direction. But I'm right. No, you have an idol. Because it's not I, it's him. So when you repent, you don't repent with a mentality, God, I'm so bad, I just don't. No, you don't repent that way. Father, thank you that greater are you that's within me than he that's in the world. And I give you my whole heart. Thank you that I'm your son or that I'm your daughter. Thank you. Because I'll tell you what, as a pastor, I can tell when people are struggling in relationships. Because they don't look at you. You know, you're talking to them and, hello, I'm right here. You ever been with someone that way? And I want to say, what's going on? But I listen to the Holy Spirit. Should I say something? So you're not a bad person. You are a child of God. You've been redeemed. You're bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. But you're still in a war. You're still in the battle. You still live, again, on this fallen earth. Satan is trying to get your attention with idols and not God. See, in the Old Testament, we think it's just legalism, and we say, Pastor, come on. Where's the grace? Well, let me show you where the grace is in this. Ezekiel 14:5. That I may seize the house of Israel by their heart. Okay, I'm just put it in blunt terms. Sorry. Okay. You screwed up. But here I am. I love you. Come back to me. That's it. It's grace. That's simplified grace. Doesn't matter what it is. How long, you know, if Pastor Dan did something yesterday and you did something 20 years ago and still doing it for 20 years, it's the same grace. Repent, Pastor Dan, one day. You repent, 20 years, instantaneously. The blood of Jesus Christ. 1 John 1:9, confess your sin, all right? And he is faithful and just to forgive. That's the God that I serve. And that's the God that I walk with 24/7. So because of that, watch this, and I realize that, and when you realize that, and I know you do, you have no shame. First of all, Jesus removed your shame. So sin creates a distance, but it doesn't create a diminishing of the love God has for you. I'll say it again. Sin creates a distance, walking with God, but it doesn't diminish the love that he has for you, whether it's 1 or 5 million. Let's all stand. One of the cameramen said like that, acknowledging he was listening to. Talk to the Lord. Don't feel bad. What did the Holy Spirit say to you today? I promise you, because I've been there many times. Holy Spirit saying, here I am. But that idol says, don't listen to him. You know the cartoon? Angel on one shoulder, pitchfork devil on the other shoulder. And they're talking to you at the same time. Repentance does this. Here's the angel. God loves you. There's no shame. You're going to be okay because God's got a plan for you. The devil telling you, you just stay angry. You just go ahead and do that because they deserve what you're going to do or say, you know. But when you repent, what you do spiritually, you flick it off the shoulder. And it's a done deal. And then at that moment, you just do this. Holy Spirit, what's my next step? Hallelujah. And you know what's going to happen? The enemy, the idol's words will be deafened. And you'll hear the voice of the Holy Spirit again. In Jesus' name, I proclaim a blessing over the house of God. I proclaim a blessing over every house represented. This Christmas season will be the best because we walk with God 24/7. And there is no shame. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you next week.